Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Jadeveon Clowney, this dance continues, and poor Connor Rogers with Bleacher Reports going, what the hell did I just walk into? He joins us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So, Connor, we're going to get to the latest mock draft and Bleacher Report and your thoughts on what's going to happen on Thursday night here in Cleveland. But I have fatigue when it comes to Clowney. And it's not that I don't think he's a could be a great player or he's a bad guy necessarily, but I'm so over this courting process for a guy that seemingly just can't stay on the field. Welcome in, by the way.
Hey, guys, I don't blame you. I mean, even when I saw it again, I was like, oh, man, we're really doing this again? Like, how many times do you have to have a back and forth before you realize that it's either happening or it's not happening? And I think for me, it's, you know, it absolutely impacts the draft because you look at the Browns and they've done a really nice job building out a thorough roster where you look at it and go, man, can they get a pass rusher across from Myles Garrett with that 26th overall pick? Or an off-ball linebacker. And if they sign Clowney this week, then you look at it and things become a little more clear. They could even go best player available. So I'm with you. The fatigue is there. You know, it seems like he's someone now we're going to have every year just kind of have a slow market, and he's never going to get that big contract or that long-term deal he wants where he's almost in that mercenary role of year after year, this will be a thing.
Is there any idea, though, any thought that maybe because, you know, Tennessee only played half a season, you didn't have training camps, you didn't have preseason games, you didn't have a lot of time to really just get yourself embedded into that roster and the defensive scheme? Am I being too lenient, too nice to Jadeveon Clowney and maybe offering him up just a little bit of a pass in that regard or no?
No, I think you're totally fair. Clowney's a really good player. I think where he gets misinterpreted is that he's an elite run defender that just doesn't put up the sack numbers, and the Browns wouldn't need him to do that across from Myles Garrett, where he's not a guy that's this top 10 pure pass rusher. But in a situation where he can get a lot on one-on-ones, he can win with power. We know he has good burst, and I think this is a good landing spot for him. When it felt like in Tennessee, like you said, there was a lot of different factors there that led to a season without much production. This is a totally different scenario where he doesn't have to be the guy. And it's one of the first times in his career where he doesn't have to be the guy. Even when he played in Houston with a good defensive line, I think the expectations were completely, you know, understandably very high for him. So with Clowney, he's someone that might not fill the stat sheet with pure sacks, but with pressures and run stops in the backfield, he's a really productive player that on a one-year deal that'll probably not exceed $10 million at this point, that's a total steal for a player like him if you can keep him on the field.
Connor Rogers, Bleacher Report, is our guest. Follow him on Twitter, by the way, at Connor J. Rogers. Okay, so hypothetically, and God knows this is definitely a hypothetical, if the Browns were to sign Jadeveon Clowney and get this done, let's fast forward to the 29th. Would that preclude them from taking a pass rusher at 26 in your mind? Would that change anything as far as a mock draft in your mind?
It makes it less of a priority, but at the same time, I don't think it wipes it off the board because, like I said, I think Clowney at this point is going to sign one-year deal after one-year deal, and you kind of, you know, alluded to it with the injury history there that maybe this signing gives you the hint of, okay, well, we could take one of the more high-ceiling pass rushers that might not be ready to come on the field and be that 8-10 sack guy from day one, but we can take the time to develop him because we have our two starters already where he's putting more of a situational role. So I don't think edge completely comes off the board for them, especially in this class when you have players like Quiddy Pay from Michigan, Jason Owe from Penn State that are really good athletes, but a little raw right now, and they're right in that range at 26 as well. And then I also look at it and go, well, you're sitting there in prime position at 26 to get one of the better off-ball linebackers in this draft that might move to the top of your needs board if you do sign a Clowney. And you're in a good spot for someone like Zaven Collins from Tulsa, maybe even Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah from Notre Dame that could do a lot of different things for you in coverage. So I think for the Browns, it's got to feel good to see them be in a spot in the draft that not a lot of teams are, where you're sitting there and going, we just don't have to press any more for need, and we can more so focus on getting the premium talent in the back end of round one.
Yeah, I like that you brought up Collins. You know, even like a corner like Caleb Farley, if he's there, you have to go ahead and jump on that. But if you're the Browns, you've said best player available a couple of times now. Are you sticking to just the defensive side of the ball, or are you open to then going to the offensive side if a good wide receiver happens to be there at 26 or someone else?
Yeah, I like that you said wide receiver, because that's exactly what I would allude to, right? I think when you look at the Browns, are they okay going into next year at the position? Yes. Are they a lock for it to be solved for 2022? Not necessarily. And even if you felt that they were, this wide receiver class is so good that you might not be able to pass on that situation. And now we're going to assume that Ja'Marr Chase, Devontae Smith, and Jaylen Waddle are all going to go probably in the top 15. But there's a lot of good players that are going to be there at 26, whether it's Terrace Marshall from LSU, a player that kind of reminds me of Denzel Mims from last year, Rashad Bateman from Minnesota, who has a little bit of Keenan Allen in his game, such a polished route runner, and really did not have the best quarterback play there, but made the most of it. If you want to get more of a smaller, not a gadget guy, but a yard-after-catch kind of guy that can help on jet sweeps and screens, Rondale Moore would be somebody that's intriguing to me just because of the way he can create with the ball in his hands. So for the Browns, I think they have to be a team that's thinking maybe not always for the next year, but 2 years ahead. And with this wide receiver class being so good, I think we'll see a run on them before they pick again at 59 in the second round, where you might want to take your swing at 26 instead.
Connor, that's a great point about, you know, thinking 2 years ahead, and obviously any good GM will be doing that. I think what's interesting now, and we've had this conversation recently here on our station, is, okay, how many of these pass rushers, like you mentioned Quiddy Pay and you mentioned Owe, but when we get to guys like Rousseau, we get to guys like Jalen Phillips, how many of those guys or which guys do you think are capable of, I'm not saying like 15 sacks rookie year, but I mean truly making an impact, and which guys do you think might take some time to adjust and might not make an impact for a season or two?
Yeah, so I think Phillips and then Azeez Ojulari from Georgia are two players. They're the two best ones in my eyes, and I think they go in the top 20, top 22 kind of picks in this draft when I look at it. And those guys can be premier pass rushers. With Phillips, all the talent is really there. He's had an injury history that is really the only thing holding him back from being a top 15 pick. Ojulari is a player on the rise. And, you know, then you get into the Quiddy Pay and Away section of the draft. And, you know, and then once again, for me, it's another tier. You have somebody like Peyton Turner from Houston. You mentioned Rousseau. You have Joe Tryon from Washington, who, like Rousseau, opted out this year, so people might not be familiar with watching him play college football recently. I look at someone like Rousseau, and I just question what his role is at the next level at his size and if he's explosive enough to play on the edge. The testing numbers were not good, but the film kind of shows that that's not how he wins. He wins with length. He wins with instincts. He doesn't necessarily win by being the first guy off the ball or a speed rush on the outside. So I hope that the team that takes him understands that he's still a work in progress, still a player that has a lot of developmental, a lot of developing in front of him, and that he's just not this ultimate athlete at the position. So, you know, Carlos Basham is somebody, Boogie Basham from Wake Forest, that has a lot of production. He kind of reminded me of Matt Judon, who just got a lot of money from the Patriots, but he's a bigger player, a bigger hand in the dirt kind of player. So I look at the edge class, and I've seen all kinds of opinions on it, right? I've seen some people say, wow, it's so deep, it's so good. And then I've seen other people say, well, it doesn't have the star talent. I'm kind of somewhere in the middle. And when you have so many guys that have the traits, that have the size, that are explosive enough, but we just haven't seen big sample sizes with them, that the real, the realistic view of the situation is that a lot of guys just won't hit because that's the NFL draft. And if you look at the history of edge rushers, the guys that don't go in the first round traditionally have a huge miss rate. It's just one of those positions, like quarterback, that if you want your guy, you're going to take him early. That's just how it goes at that position. You can't say that about a lot of positions in the draft, but edge rusher and quarterback are the two that consistently we see the majority of the hits come out of round one.
And what's so interesting when you bring up Russo to me is that, because you mentioned small sample size, right? And he was one of the 2020 opt-out guys. He's really just got one full year of college football under his belt. Like, I don't know. If you're Andrew Berry, how do you, and I'm seeing Russo mocked to the Browns in certain areas, how do you possibly pull the trigger on a guy that you got 1 year's worth of tape and you don't really know exactly who he is as a player? It's definitely a guess.
You can't do it at 26. That's my honest opinion here, guys. You cannot do it at 26. Now, I don't think he goes in the first round. I think that, you know, it's funny to watch the opinions really go around. In the media and on Twitter and all these places, some people will say that he's a day three guy. In the league, some teams will say he's a round two guy, and then other personalities still have him in round one. At the end of the day, he's a late round two player. At 59, I think the expectations start to dwindle where you look at it and go, okay, we can let him take his time and come along at his own pace, and that he is a younger prospect, and he's really high character player. He'll work really hard. We can move him along the defensive line like Miami did. Sometimes he played shade nose and gave guards and centers that typically have shorter arms and less length. He gave them a hard time because he could swim and rip through gaps. So I think landing spot is so key with him. But when you say that about a player, when it's one of the first things you say about a player, that probably means that it's too risky in the first round. And quite frankly, the Browns and a lot of different teams, they just don't need to take that risk with the other pass rushers that are on the board.
Connor Rogers, Bleacher Report, is our guest. Of course, the draft coming up on April the 29th here in Cleveland. All right, before we get you out of here, obviously we're Browns heavy here, but I do want to ask you, the Falcons, every year we have that one team that we say, well, the draft really begins when? And I feel like now that San Francisco has traded up, yes, maybe still some intrigue about Mac Jones. I don't know. You can weigh in on that. But at four is where I think, what are the Falcons going to do? Are they going to take just the best player available, somebody to add to the arsenal with Julio Jones and Ridley? Are they going to say, we're at four and we got to find Matt Ryan's successor? Who knows if we're going to be in this position again? You also know that, like, you don't want to go 2011 and force it if it's not there. So what do you think the Falcons are going to do with that four slot?
I think they're going to hold an auction for the pick, and I think it'll be a big one. Now, you know, the reason I've thought about this a lot with the Panthers trade for Sam Darnold. They obviously felt that they were blocked out from getting into the range of taking the quarterback they want, and that's why they pivoted to making that trade for Sam Darnold. But other teams, I think that door is open to come up to four, and I think it was a long conversation with a guy like Terry Fontenot and Arthur Smith, their new GM, their new head coach, where you look at it and go, wow, do we want to stick by Matt Ryan for a couple of years and then turn it over? Do we want to, you know, stay with Matt Ryan but develop a quarterback behind him? Or, you know, do we want to just move on all in general? Well, restructuring Matt Ryan's deal where the money is spread out for the next couple of years kind of tells me, or would surprise me, if they do take that rookie quarterback and have him sit for those 2 to 3 years, because then you're just missing that rookie quarterback contract window that GMs so desperately want to build a team around. So for me, new GM, new coach, they have plenty of needs, especially on the defensive side of the ball as well. There's not a defensive player you are going to take it for. I think internally they feel they have enough offensive skill talent where they don't have to take Kyle Pitts at four, as much as people say that. This is a good quarterback draft, guys, and teams are going to get desperate. We've already witnessed a huge price. The 49ers paid to go up to three. I'm not sold 100% it's for Mac Jones, but either way, it's for a quarterback. So I look at it and think Atlanta will hold a big auction for that pick. I think you have the Broncos. I think you have New England. I don't think they'll want to move as far back as teams like Washington and Chicago. But the point is, there are a lot of teams that would be interested in coming up to the top five.
So many questions, and we still have 17 days till we get those answers. Connor Rogers with Bleacher Report. Great stuff, buddy. Appreciate the time. Keep up the good work, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, great talking to you guys. Thanks for having me.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle. vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh,